You know what, Sam?
What?
We're going to Chatmandu.
That's right.
Coming to you from the heart of Canes country, this is the Caniac Report. Your number one source for everything Carolina Hurricanes. Hot takes, predictions, game analysis, and NHL news. And now your hosts, Sam Wallace and Sam Driscoll.
All right, we're back with another episode of the Caniac Report. And Sam, another two great wins against the Islanders Tuesday and the game that we just got back from, Philly.
Yep.
And even though I didn't think they played good against Philly.
Nope.
I mean, they're able to get the win.
Yes, they are, and that's what matters.
Yes, definitely. So, first things first, like we always start out with, is podcast news. So, you get a great deal. We have a partner with, we're partnered with SeatGeek, and you get 20% off, or is it, you said 20 bucks.
I think it's 20 bucks. I think it's 20 bucks.
Okay, 20 bucks. If you use the promo code CaniacReport, all one word, it's a great deal for Hurricane games and other events held at PNC or Red Hat.
Yep.
Or maybe the Ritz, possibly. So, honestly, I mean, I haven't looked at the Ritz, but you never know.
Exactly.
So, it's definitely a great deal. So, I would use that. Another thing is that we have a link in all of our episode descriptions for those who want to donate to us. If you feel like you want to donate, there is a link in our episode description. It's a PayPal account. So that'd be great if you do donate to us. So that's all for podcast news. Now we're going to get to NHL news. And Sam, there was a general manager meeting that happened Monday.
Yes.
And lots of stuff was discussed.
Yes.
One of it was expanding coaches' challenges to high-sticking and puck over glass. Now, what's interesting is that, let's say the coach gets it wrong, then there will be a delay of game penalty. Actually, there wouldn't be. No delay of game penalty will be assessed if it's
most likely you're not like challenging that anyway, and you probably know that's what it's going to be. So, it's going to be pretty obvious. I think that's the right decision to make. So,
oh, I do too. And now, obviously, this needs to be approved by the Board of Governors first.
I honestly wouldn't make it a challenge. I would just make all delay of game penalties reviewable. You just quickly check, okay, went over the glass, 2 minutes. Oh, no, it went off a stick. No, 2 minutes, right? You just, his play stops anyway. Well, you just quickly look.
Well, true, but there are opponents of that. I would say you really need to keep the flow of the game and not just stop every time. So, I can see that, but again, there's probably a fine line there where we could meet, possibly.
Yeah.
I think that's the big thing. The next thing that they discussed, Sam, this was interesting. Defensive zone face-offs after icing. So let's say the other team ices the puck and you have a defensive zone face-off. Originally, the offensive player would be kicked out and the defensive player would get a warning if something went wrong in the face-off circle.
Yep.
That I did not know, actually. But apparently now it's going to be both getting a warning after that discussion. So I like that rule. I think they're trying to increase a little bit more offensive production by doing that.
Yeah, makes sense. I think I'm okay with that.
And another thing, too, is no limbs will be hanging over the bench when waiting for a line change. We know that a lot of players usually sit on the edge of the bench with their legs hanging over. Can't do that
anymore. Like that.
Apparently, there was a safety issue where I think
it's been that way for
an
years.
Official has been
it's
cut.
It's been this way for a millennia. Like, just let it go. That's a dumb one, but whatever. Whatever. You want to talk about upsetting the flow of the game? Line changes are going to be a bit awkward now. I don't like it, but it is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is. I'm sure players will adapt. They're professional players.
Yeah.
I think they can.
Yeah.
So, there's that. And the last one is that if apparently if a goalie is removed by a concussion spotter, backup goalie gets a warm up. So found that interesting. But yes, general managers had their meeting Monday, and the executive GM committee, which we talked about for Monday's episode, they had theirs Sunday. So a little interesting sequence there of events. But that's kind of all for NHL news. I really wanted to touch upon the GM's meeting because there are going to be some changes. And want to keep you guys informed on that. The next piece of news is, well, actually, that's actually it for NHL news. Now we're going to get to Hurricanes news, and there's quite a few.
Sorry if we sound a little sluggish tonight. We're tired. It is late. Yeah, we're recording after the Flyers game.
We are tired. I'm especially tired.
And we should congratulate our Sam Wallace. He'll have big news next week on his personal life. He'll have big news to announce for his personal life next week. So I'm going to give him a shout-out next week because he deserves it.
Once it's official.
Once it's official, I'm shouting you out next week.
Yes. Okay, you can do that. That is completely fine. But now we're going to get to some Hurricanes news. One thing I do want to discuss is obviously Mike Maniscalco.
He
was not present during the Philadelphia game. He wasn't present during the Islanders game on the radio side of things because the Islanders game was a national game.
Yes.
And apparently we found out that Mike Maniscalco's mom passed away. Really hate that for him. I really do, especially his knowing
mother-in-law.
That
his mother-in-law.
Mother-in-law, my bad.
Mother-in-law passed away, yeah, so his wife's mom. So that's sad. It's always sad to lose a member of the family, and they've had a couple of deaths in the family this year, so thoughts and prayers to the Maniscalco family, for sure.
Yes, definitely. So that's just all we're going to say on that. The next piece of news, Sam, and both of us, both agreed to tweet this out. But we had thoughts on the vintage alternate sweaters that were released. And, I mean, this is one of those things where if you like it, that's completely fine. Personally, I don't like it. And, Sam, you agree with me. I didn't really like it. And to me, the main reason why I didn't like it, because to me it looked like a football jersey.
Yeah, well, yeah, because we're not a football team.
There's
a desperate need, and I don't know why, for this organization to attempt a rebrand. I have no interest in a rebrand. I'd rather go back to the old jerseys from the 05-06 year and kind of, honestly, even that drought year. I liked those older jerseys. I love the 25th anniversary jerseys we wore last year are my favorite jerseys. I love those.
Well, so here's the thing. I mean, what I have seen out there, Kane's Twitter, or even at Hurricane games, I haven't seen any strong opposition out there saying that our current logo needs to be changed. And I think because of that, in order to rebrand and have a lot of fans like it, like, you really need to, the logo needs to be spectacular. Because no fans are wanting the logo to be changed. It's not like the Hurricane logo is awful. So I think if they do want to do a rebrand, they really, really have to wow us. Yes. Like, really do.
Now, if you want to rebrand and make, the Hurricane flag the main thing, and
they already
rebranded
the flag, though.
I just don't know what you're going to do. I like the Hurricane insignia. It's been that way for years. I don't want to rebrand away from that. I don't like that idea. Like, if you want to do some jersey tweaks, you want to move away from the black jerseys, I don't care, but just watch it. I don't like the Canes diagonal, so don't do that. Like the red,
I'm not a big fan of that either. But again, if you like it and you're listening to this,
it's all personal preference.
Completely fine.
It's all aesthetic.
It really is personal preference, and in this case, you and I both agree.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
That's just how it is.
Agreed.
Now, if I actually liked it, I would make it known. And then you guys will get to hear us debate on it, which will probably entertain you guys. So, yeah. Those are our thoughts on the vintage alternate jerseys. Another piece of Hurricanes news, Sam, and it's more of me just throwing out a stat, but Canes on the road, and they announced this during the Philadelphia game, 11-1-1 in their last 13 road games, Sam. That's just crazy. And I find that to be really amazing, knowing what they went through in December.
Yes.
On that Canadian road trip where they hit rock bottom.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it was starting to be the question, is this team going to end up like where New Jersey is? Because we weren't playing very well. We were kind of teetering, kind of hitting, you know, hovering at 500. This team just really hadn't been able to get anything solid going. And all of a sudden, after that, they just exploded and became an absolute elite squad.
Yes, I'm really happy. And it really all started on that road game against Ottawa.
Yeah.
And I remember that game because you and I were both at the Garner.
Yes. Carolina Ale House.
Yeah, Carolina Ale House. That's right. I was thinking Backyard Bistro for some
reason. No, we were at the Carolina Ale House. It was a great game, and that's when it started. That's when Kochetkov came to form. That's when Carolina had a dominant win. And that is just and since then, Carolina has been freaking on fire. And then you have the trade deadline, and Carolina has been even more on fire because
they added fuel to the fire with Jake Guentzel and Kuznetsov.
And you may have found yourself a little lightning in the bottle with Kuznetsov, right? Because more or less, if you look at it, you moved one roster player and you added Kuznetsov and Jake Guentzel, right? And some picks prospects were thrown around there too, but those aren't roster guys, right? They don't affect the here and now. And they were players who may or may not play, right, with us eventually. But Kuznetsov has clearly become the number two center. Well deserved. He's been very, 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 very good. And Jake Guentzel is just racking up points. I mean, just racking up points.
He got another assist.
Yeah. I mean, Jake and Bake's doing such a good job. I love him. I love him. I love Kuzi.
Jake and Bake.
And
of course.
I'm wanting to see more, and I can't wait to see more. Especially, I'm happy we're going to go into the playoffs with a team that can score and with a guy who is a goal scorer. And hopefully this team is healthy, right? We have Foss down, Drury down, Tavo down. But it sounds like two of them are close. Tavo and Drury are close. I don't know what Foss is dealing with, but if you want to talk about a game to kind of give them another game to rest, it was the Flyers game tomorrow or tonight as you're listening to this against the Caps. It's going to be a tougher out.
Yes, definitely. That's pretty much it for Hurricanes news that we wanted to discuss in this episode. This probably aligns a little bit with more NHL news, Sam, but I'm telling you, John Tortorella, he will scratch his top if he has to.
I'm guessing there's something going on in the locker room to do that. I mean, they haven't been playing very well. Maybe there's a very solid disagreement. I don't think his agent's doing him any favors by calling Tortorella out because Tortorella doesn't give a crap what anyone thinks. I mean, just listen to him when he gives interviews with reporters.
And even the media are calling him out a little bit too, being like, you can't bench a player like this.
Yeah, you can.
Well, he did, and they won.
And clearly it's not a problem with management.
Now, he did it against Carolina tonight. It didn't work out for them, but they got a point.
Yeah. Look, Tortorella's won a Stanley Cup champion. He's a great coach. Like I've said before many, many times, if it's not Rod, I'm okay. I would love Torts. At the end of the day, the reality is simple. John Tortorella is an outstanding coach. I would tend to trust him. Yeah, you're kind of questioning it, but they haven't been playing good. And it's a jolt to have your captain taken off. And just remember, Tortorella gave him the C. I mean, so don't think that this is something was going on in the locker room probably as well that caused this. And if you're making your agent fight a proxy war for you, it's not going to get you in the lineup any faster.
No, it really isn't.
You're under contract, so it doesn't matter. Well,
it's just Tortorella doesn't give a crap.
No, he doesn't. And it's honestly, and in my opinion, if there is a locker room thing and there is a beef between the two of them right now, I respect Tortorella for not saying that out loud. He's keeping it between him and the player, and I think that's how that should be.
Yes, I definitely do. So that's all for NHL and Hurricanes news combined. Now we're going to get to the two wins, but before we do, let's get to our sponsor. We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boo Hill Casino and Resort, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 24. All rights reserved. Okay, Sam, now we're going to get to the Islanders game. This was a game where I actually thought the first 8 minutes, probably first half, you could say, I thought the Islanders were probably going to put up a very good fight against Carolina. But Carolina, for the rest of the period after those 10 minutes, showed to be very good. And in particular, Seth Jarvis, who has been on a huge hot streak of scoring goals. And I am so happy that he's doing it. And I think we're really probably a little bit more appreciative that he's doing it. Because, I mean, you're supposed to have probably two or three goal scorers right now.
Yep.
Gensel, Jarvis, and Svech. To me, those are the players that need to be producing goals. Svech isn't really doing that right now. And Gensel, he's racking up mainly assists right now. But he will be going, and I would argue he's kind of already gotten going with Jarvis and Aho. And I would say more so in the Islanders game than in the Philly game.
Yep.
Because that first line was just dominant against the Islanders. And, I mean, that first goal from Seth Jarvis, I mean, you get an assist from Shane Gensel there. But I thought Sorokin should have had that. It was right between the legs.
Was not Sorokin's best game. I don't think it was really. I mean, Carolina ended the game in the first period.
3-0.
Yeah, and that was it. That's really it.
Because Jarvis scores, again, from a great pass. Great pass. It was back and forth fast. Sorry, pass between Gensel and Jarvis.
And then Nate just ends it on the power play with like 3 seconds left in the period and just rips it past Sorokin. I honestly thought Varlamov was going to come out to start the second.
But he didn't.
No, and Sorokin shut the door the rest of the game. He was very good.
Yes. Now, of course, the Islanders do score in the third period with Kyle Palmieri. And in this game is Kochetkov playing. Mm-hmm. And as you notice, as probably as any casual Hurricanes fan notices, Brendan Moore is on a rotation basis with the goaltending.
Especially going down the stretch. That's what you got to do.
Which I love it because both goalies are hot right now.
Yeah.
Like Adam Gold said it like right after the game on the radio that Anderson, in the past, five or six games, he's won all of them with a .944 save percentage. My gosh, that is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just wow. And Kochetkov, I mean, he lost the game against the Rangers, but that's a game you can't blame on him.
No. I mean, yeah, the goal was 100% fluky, but it went off of Shea. It was deflection. Nothing. It wasn't Kochetkov's fault. Fluky game. Look, a series against the Rangers, which is possible. Not happy.
I don't want to see that series.
It is most likely going to be the second round of the playoffs. Whether we're first in the division or second in the division, we will have to play the freaking Rangers in the second round of the playoffs.
Unless they get a first round upset again.
I don't think that's going to happen this time.
I don't think it is either.
The reality is, and this is what I firmly believe and why I kind of don't want to play them. My belief is simply this. I don't believe in that roster, but I believe in Peter Laviolette, and he will get
the
best. And Peter Laviolette will get the absolute best out of every single player on that roster this season. If they are to win a Stanley Cup, this is the year that they will have the best chance to do it, because Laviolette's best years are most of the time his first two seasons. Usually his first season's his best. That's what happened in Carolina, right? His first season, I think he won a cup with us. So that's Laviolette, right? We'll see what happens. I'm not looking forward to a playoff series against the Rangers, but it'll be an exciting playoff series. And oh my Lord, for the love of all that is holy, Gio, restrict those tickets when we're in the playoffs. I do not need Rangers fans flying in from New York for these games.
Well, you're still going to get Rangers fans because they live in Cary.
That's fine, but let's restrict it as much as possible.
Well, obviously, I mean, the Rangers, that game was one thing. But the Islanders game, a lot more. It ended a lot better than the Rangers game because we won 4-1. And just to tap it off, an empty net goal from Jake Guentzel. And Carolina wins that game 4-1. First line, I thought, was dynamite. Second line, the Kuznetsov line, I thought, looked good. Really was a very great game all around for Carolina. And now we're going to get to the Philadelphia game, which honestly is the game we probably remember the most out of the two because it's the latest game.
Yes.
And we just got back from that. This game, Sam, I thought we stole 2 points from Philly. Because here's the thing. Philly, I thought really, even though it was probably an even game throughout most of it, Philly really showed why they're in third place. And yes, they're a crappy, they can probably be a crappy team. I think on paper we're better in all the areas. Goaltending, defense, offense.
Yep.
But what really caught my eye with Philly is they have a very strong work ethic out there.
Yep.
And that is being instilled by John Tortorella.
Yeah, you're always going to, that is the kind of coach he is.
And you need that when you lost a goalie in Carter Hart. He's probably not going to be coming back to the NHL again.
No. Which, by the way, if he's found innocent, is a shame because he should be allowed to play again.
But you know just in this world, he's probably not.
I am a full believer in the justice system, so we will allow them to do their thing, and the result of that should be the result of the player's future. That's my belief. If they're innocent,
with that
let
too.
Them play. If they're guilty, then that's ball game. They're going to jail. But that should be the system. And it's unfortunate for Philly because they've had a great year. And really, Carter Hart is a big reason why they've had a good year. I'm a little surprised he didn't get a goalie at the deadline. But at the same time, I don't believe this Flyers organization is in a position where they're like, oh, yeah, it's time to go in to get somebody and make that push. They're not there yet, and they know it. Like, they know if they get in, they're not going to be going to the Stanley Cup Finals. But they're getting closer, and this year is showing that they're a few pieces short of a really solid team. I think they're taking advantage of a relatively weak Metro this year as well, because really there's only, in my mind, two good Metro teams, which is Carolina and New York.
Yes, I
nobody
agree.
Nobody, like,
I
you,
agree
like
you
said
there.
Before the game, nobody wants to take that third Metro spot.
No.
So I don't want to play Washington, though, so I kind of would prefer Philly.
Yeah, well, I mean, even though I prefer Philly, I thought their goalie played a pretty good game. Erson, I believe, is his name. He played pretty good. And what's great is you have Anderson playing another great game, which is what you need. And I mean, let's compare the two goalies for a second here, Sam. Kochetkov and Anderson. To me, that resembles a lot of the two goalies that we had when we got back into the playoffs. Because you look at Kochetkov, he plays a pretty aggressive style. Yep. That resembles, to me, Peter Mrazek.
Yep.
Anderson, he's more of a calm, cold, collected goalie.
Curtis McElhinney. A lot like
Curtis McElhinney.
Yep.
So.
And also.
That's interesting.
We have a goalie we claimed off waivers who's really good. And Spencer Martin.
Yes. So there's a commonality there between Spencer Martin and Curtis McElhinney. So you have really three great goalies that are playing very well right now. And Sam, I mean, you're probably going to rotate them in the playoffs. But if you had to choose one goalie to just ride with, if you had to make that choice.
I would compare their stats since Anderson came back and go with whoever's the best one there.
Probably do Anderson, maybe just a little bit, just because I think it's very important. Even though I think I love Kochetkov's aggressive game, there are times where, because of that aggressive style, his game can fluctuate a little bit more.
Yeah.
Than Anderson's.
You know,
it's a tough question.
I think I'm leaning towards Kochetkov, but I want to finish the next 12 games.
Yeah, I do too.
And I want to see what happens, because maybe one of them just completely falls off and explodes down the thing. And just remember, Freddie Anderson's also made of paper mache. You touch him and he breaks too. So I mean, he was touched
during the Philly game, but he was able to get up.
So it's one of those we'll see what happens kind of a thing. Right now, I lean towards Kochetkov mainly because I think he's earned it this season. And I think that's fair.
There's no wrong choice, though, I think.
I don't think so. And it's possible, like, if you play a team like Philadelphia, I might rotate them, right? Or a team where you're like, you know, we should win and we should win handily. Maybe you rotate them there.
I would rotate them there, too. But my question was, I mean, if you're forced to having to ride with
one. My preference is to start with a goalie and ride with a goalie. So, and he is your guy. If that's the case, I'm probably going with Kochetkov. But, you know, if Anderson just keeps playing like this, you have to choose Anderson, but we'll see.
Although switching could be an advantage for Brendan Morgan. He'd be like, well, we're not going to announce our starting goalie until he comes on the ice. So no, that could be a good enigma strategy for the other team.
Home games again for Freddie and away games for Kochetkov or vice versa. I mean, you could do something like that. I don't know. You have options. The thing is, Carolina has three good goaltenders, all of whom can start in a playoff, and all of whom I'd be like, okay, I'm okay with this.
Yeah.
Martin, Anderson, or Kochetkov.
Exactly.
I think even Ranta. Ranta played pretty decent. He only got waived because we don't want to give up a young 28-year-old goaltender.
Yes, exactly. And, I mean, Martin has played a little bit better than Ranta, but all four goalies have been, other than Ranta maybe, have been pretty good.
Nashville shut out the Panthers tonight.
Oh, wow, Florida. A 3-game losing streak for them. Well, that's something. You know, the hockey guy better have them drop in the power rankings.
We're 3 points behind the Panthers in the standings.
That's interesting.
So, and right now, I'm sorry, the Bruins. And the Bruins are the number one team in the National Hockey League right now. So it is very possible this team could win a President's Trophy.
I don't want that curse.
I don't want the curse either, but I think it's cool that this team is that close to being the best team in the entire National Hockey League, especially when you look at what happened at the beginning of the season.
That's not going to satisfy Brendan Moore winning a President's
Trophy. No, it's not, and it shouldn't. But I think it speaks a lot for this team, given where they were this season and where they are now. Just to be in that conversation, I think, says a lot.
Yeah, definitely. Back to the Philadelphia game. You have Martinook scoring from Necas and Pesce. That was a great off-the-rush transition goal. And then you have Lawton scoring literally like 30 seconds after that. On a breakaway, again, I thought the Canes were sloppy. There were times defensively where I thought they were lazy. And it's 1-1. And then you have trap field scoring, Sam. We're going to trap Mandu. And we found out on the way back that there is actually a city called Chatmandu in...
I don't know if there's an actual city called
Chatmandu. Oh, I thought you searched it up.
I couldn't find a city. I think it's like a restaurant called Catmandu. It's the closest thing I came up to.
Really?
It is in Michigan. But I just think it's funny. Oh, my God. I love that Trip calls that says we're going to Chatmandu.
So I think he bases that off of a song. I think that's what
it's
possible. Is.
Maybe there is a place called Chatmandu. I don't know. I don't care. I think it's funny.
It is funny. But he scores. That was a wowzer of a shot. And a great awareness pass from Aho. Now you have Travis Konechny scoring on a kind of off of a scrum in front of Anderson. He was able to tuck it in behind Anderson because he was way out of his goal. And then it goes to overtime, which raises all the Hurricanes' hearts, blood pressure up a lot. But Jarvis scores.
Thank goodness.
And Jarvis is, again, he is just so good right now with his goal scoring ability.
Yes.
I am so happy. That's his 26th goal.
Hey, he might get the 30.
Take it or leave it. 30.
Taking it.
I think I'm taking it,
too. He's on a heater right now. I think he gets the 30.
I'm taking it, too. So, yeah. We win it 3-2 in overtime. And, Sam, yeah, I think this really was, even though I don't like it how they played.
Mm-mm.
Perfect game from a standing perspective because, I mean, you probably do want to face Philly in the playoffs.
If you have a choice, yeah.
If you have a choice. So you're able to give them a point to help them secure the third place, to face them more securely in the playoffs.
Yep.
And you win it by maintaining at least second place. Now, we saw the Rangers won against Boston.
Yep.
So we couldn't really make up ground. But we've said it before. I know I at least have said it before in an episode in the past that I would rather finish second.
I think we're in a position now where it looks like the Islanders are falling out of it, but they just can't seem to win right now. So they
got blasted by Detroit, I believe.
Yes, they are 5 points out of a playoff spot, and they lost to those same Detroit Red Wings. The Islanders are 5 points. I'm sorry, the Caps are 3 points behind Detroit, 5 points behind Tampa, and 4 points behind Philly. They have 2 games in hand on Philly, so the best they could do is a tie. And Philly's got 79 points, so worst case for them, they would actually bump Detroit out. So if Washington leapfrogs into third and Philly falls down and replaces Detroit. So right now, if Philly goes to Detroit, then I'm okay being first in the division. So there are instances where I will be fine being first in the division. Even if I'm first in the division, it looks like we would play either, and again, some of these are like long shot options for us. We're not playing Tampa.
I don't want to play Tampa.
We're not playing Tampa. If we end up being, again, this is if we're President's Trophies winner, the best team in the Eastern Conference, we would play the number two team, right? Which would be either Philly, Detroit, Washington, New York, or New Jersey. I think New Jersey is a very, very, very huge long shot at that position, but they're within 6 points, so I have to count them in there. I don't think Buffalo really has a chance. They're 7 points back.
And Pittsburgh's really falling off the cliff.
Nah, Pittsburgh's done.
Yeah, they really are done.
But I think Carolina's got a chance. I mean, we're fifth in the NHL. We're 3 points behind Bruins. Yeah, I mean, it's possible we win the President's Trophy. I'm actually okay if we're just number one in the Eastern Conference. I don't have to have the President's Trophy. I'm okay if a Western Conference team gets that.
I don't remember the last team that's won the Stanley Cup. That's won a President's
Trophy. I want to think Chicago. Trophy.
Maybe Chicago. Even then, there's not a good history there, which is why I a little bit believe in the curse. I do think maybe it's a little bit overblown. You could have an argument there, but I just want to win the Stanley Cup. I'm not really focused on President Trophy or winning the division. It's the cup that matters, and I think all the fans can agree on that. So, yeah, two great wins. One win that against the Islanders where you deserved probably to win. And then one win where you probably a little bit stole 2 points from Philly because they were really outworking
that shows us
at points, but it shows how good we are. Yes.
That's what matters. You're going to win some when you don't deserve to win. That's the metric of a good team.
And that's what's crazy about hockey. I'm not going to say that's what makes hockey dumb. Like what Adam Gold says. I don't think that's the correct phrase.
Good friend of the podcast, Adam Gold.
It makes hockey crazy. But yeah, next episode will be just me because you are going to be away.
I will be in the great state of Florida for a few days, so I'll be back for the next episode on
Friday. I say Florida.
Florida, Florida, Florida. I will be in Florida this weekend, so taking a little vacation before I go into training at my work, so I have earned a right to step away for a few days in my mind.
While I continue to slave away on this podcast.
Hey, you're taking some time off next week. Not taking time off for the podcast, but from work. So
yes, from work. But yeah, so that's all for this episode. I will see you guys Monday.
Thanks for listening to the Kaniac Report. Be sure to subscribe wherever you heard this podcast so you never miss a future episode. Can't get enough of the Kaniac Report? For more content or to connect with the Sams, check them out on Instagram and Twitter at The Kaniac Report. We'll see you next time.